Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Holy hell. Andy, a hot sauce with the name Napalm in it. Handle with care.
Wow. How are you feeling over there, correct?
I had a second one in the break. I might have the third one, the curry one. The ginger curry. That one's delicious. Bro, that ninja napalm is hot.
Dude, your eyes are glossy.
My eyes are glossy, watering. Yep. I'm sweating.
But now you want to drink water. There you go, Craig. There you go.
I have to be able to they don't pay me to eat chicken wings, Anthony. They pay me to do a radio show. And I'm going to need some more water for sure because I'm almost out. Oh. Oh, my God. I mean, that was fun. I can't wait to watch it back and hope that it's as entertaining as it felt. For all I know, I just look like a total buffoon. Whew. Yeah, so those are your hot wings, everybody. We did the bet. We did the thing. And now I have to try to do the rest of a radio show. I also feel like
I have 100 push-ups or eat those wings again?
I think 100 push-ups.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't hurt, but it does. My face feels not like my face. Would that make any sense?
A little bit.
I also feel, one thing I really messed up on, though, is, like, it's chicken wings. I feel like I have chicken wing, like, shrapnel in my teeth.
Ah, that's the worst.
I'm trying to get it out, but every time, my tongue hits my teeth, some of the hot sauce is still on my teeth. My mouth gets hot again. Anyway, it's time for the pick six at six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at Six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Oh, man, you want to get your heart rate up? You can do a couple of different things. You can exercise, you can eat ridiculously hot chicken wings, or you can watch a Commanders game.
Number one.
The cardiac Commanders strike again. So Dan Quinn asked today how he feels at the end of some of these close games.
No, it's awesome. It's like the best part of coaching because it's like right with everything on the line. And it's my most favorite part of it all. Like being like 10 toes down with guys that you really love and care about. Like for it, it's like it's the best. And so doing that kind of hard with really good people, like that's honestly as fun as it gets. And so they don't always work out in your favor, but just being in that arena and that type of competitive, man, like you cannot feel more alive than in that spot. When the anticipation and the competitiveness is that high, it's really
real fun. Real fun. I always like that much more as a player than as a coach. Because as a player, you have control. As a coach, you're just hoping that you did all the right stuff, and you can have a level of confidence and calm, but ultimately it's not your call what happens. You can just send your players out there. Now, when one of your players is Jaden Daniels, I'd imagine that's a lot more fun. When did Dan Quinn realize that he had this level of poise, and how that poise has actually even progressed throughout this season?
Best first I would say closing time moment for him, it was in our second game against the Giants. And we were really loving to kick field goals back then. I mean, we were on it. And I believe we were tied. You get to check and see if that's true. But going into that space, like just a absolute locked in person, not any differential, hey, whatever you think's best. There wasn't any nervous, you know, throwing the ball around. It was just, whew. And so that's, you know, probably the opening page of, you know, the journey of that here. And there's been a lot of chapters in between that have earned that. But that would have been the first chapter, that in that moment of his first drive to go win a game, like, man, he had played that thing hundreds of times. So it wasn't a hope or, you know, this should be fun. It was like, this is going to go down. So it was, that was probably chapter one.
Many chapters since, but that was the game where Austin Seibert kicked 7 field goals, and it was like, ah, the Commanders have fixed their kicking problems. Turns out there was more steps in that journey, and Zane Gonzalez, of course, doinks them in to the divisional round.
Number 2.
In the divisional round, they'll face Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. So, what has Dan Quinn perhaps taken from Dan Campbell that he has implemented in D.C.?
Well, one, I think he's done a fantastic job. And so just you see the play style and then identity. And those are the things as a coach, John, that you're really, you know, want to make sure that it's rock solid and crystal clear. And so, yeah, we've certainly followed him. And also having Lance here, who came from Detroit, you know, gave insights onto how things turn and why. And so, you know, it was all really beneficial.
And then with guys like Zach and Bobby, has their impact been?
So, play style. That to me is the number one thing that if I'm watching a Dan Quinn or a Dan Campbell team, I notice. Of course, from a game management standpoint, there's all the fourth down stuff. So, Dan Quinn asked today on being more aggressive and teams doing that now in a way that was not the case when he was the head coach in Atlanta the first time around that he was a head coach.
Yeah, it's definitely different, and it has to do a lot with your team, too, in terms of how you play. But, yeah, we had known that, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, you know, they're excellent at it, we're excellent at it. So obviously, you know, big parts of the game to go through it. So it has changed a lot, Ben. You're right to know that, you know, maybe a model at one time has changed. And that's kind of like one of the cool parts about football, man, where things evolve and change and going. And so you want to be bold without being reckless and finding the right spaces, what the opponent does, what you guys do. So it's not one size fits all, but you know, where you're at in the game, what do you need? So it's definitely, you know, moved from middle of it to, you know, near the top of the game making, you know, game decisions.
And Quinn, hey, you know, we talked about, can we get a little more Dan Campbell in or Dan Quinn? He's had that in this 6-game winning streak. He has been way more aggressive going for it on fourth down, avoiding short field goals, and just saying, hey, in defense, if we don't get this, it's up to you. But when you have the best fourth down conversion rate in the NFL in 25 years, when it's about your team, well, that becomes a lot easier to then continue to go for it.
Number 3.
Divisional round weekend, when you're the lowest seed remaining, means you get the team that's coming off the bye. Detroit has had a week off. They played, obviously, the very important final game of the regular season to get this week off. So, what's it like playing this Detroit team, and what's it like preparing for them, knowing that they're coming off the extra rest?
No different from our end. And, like, just in terms of the what-ifs, you don't go there. They've got a huge playbook. So for us to, you know, draw some stuff up in the dirt and say, this might happen, like, no way, no can do. And so there's plenty of stuff that they have that we've got to really be rock solid and ready. Like, run game's excellent. The playback pass that goes off of that is excellent. So the matchups that we have to dig into. So more than anything, our consistency does come down to us. It's that communication to go, and communication is big. All the shifts and motions they have, the crowd noise, it's an absolutely fantastic, you know, place that'll be lit. And so those are the things that we have to put our time and attention on, the things that we can control.
Got it. Stay the same. That has been Dan Quinn's message all season long, and it doesn't surprise me to hear that. Like, oh, they're on an extra rest. Okay, what are we going to do about it? We're just going to go out there and play football. And by the way, Commanders are on a short week because they go Sunday to Saturday. And last question for DQ that we'll hear before we take a break, come back for part two of our pick six, is on if his approach to the playoffs has changed at all during his career. He's had a lot of experience. He's had some really tough losses. He's also won a bunch of games. You don't get to a Super Bowl unless you win playoff games. So he's done that, even if when he got there, that was probably the most heartbreaking loss of his career and of most coaches' career. So has there been a change in his approach?
Yeah, for sure. And we're talking about like Dave's role, you know, being a significant part of that. And going back to Ben's point, like in 10 years, a lot has changed in terms of how we go about things to do that. But yeah, I certainly learned a lot going through that process, learning it and saying, okay, this would be some things that I would do different. Those changes have they began in the off season. You know, the amount of times I've spent in certain spots. But as far as playoffs go, every game's a championship game. And that's what makes it so much fun, because you can't place one versus the other. Man, like for us, all there is Saturday night. Like that's all, you know, it's just that. And so it's not down the line or down the road. And so being in that fight Saturday night, we've earned it, but that's the only fight we're in. So like we're going after it as hard as we can.
Saturday night, 8:15, going to be fun. Pre-game, well, kind of, we've already started. We're getting ready all week long, but mid-afternoon we'll have coverage live and local here on the Team 980 starting at 3. When we get back, you'll hear not only more from Dan Quinn, but from Jaden Daniels as well. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches. Pick 6 at 6 continues here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. There are more chicken wing updates. We'll get to them 6:30. If you've been with us, we'll update how my face is feeling. We'll update where my heart rate is. We'll update the other foods I've eaten to stem the tide of my face feeling like it was falling off there for a second. Thanks to picking football games incorrectly. Anthony?
I love that for you, Craig.
Yeah, because you were the one who picked them correctly.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, moving on. Continuing on with our pick 6 at 6, biggest Commanders notes of the day. By the way, today, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels. Tomorrow typically is the day that you get them, but because the Commanders are playing on Saturday, they bump everything up. So tomorrow you'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. in this slot. But we continue with more thoughts on the cardiac Commanders, and those thoughts come from Jaden Daniels.
Number 4.
Jaden is the orchestrator of so many of these comebacks, all but the one against Dallas, and there's just something to having that chance in the final minute to be able to win a football game, and that seems to bring the absolute best out of him, and he was asked about that today.
I mean, it's like kind of what he says, what you live for. It's what you kind of play the sport for, to when it's time to go out there and make plays. You're going to see who rises to the occasion and make plays. So, you know, we kind of thrive there. Obviously, we would rather go out there and win by 20. But when those situations come up, that's what DQ and them preach so much, and they teach us about situational football. So we're always prepared for those moments.
And that's the thing, the mental, like psychological side of it, those guys are ready and they've done it, but there's also a schematic excellence, an execution and game management excellence that they've had. And Jaden was asked about that element of it as well, that preparation for late game situations.
I think you kind of just see how much time you're going to get with kind of the clock. You know, you can get the ball back at, you know, this amount of time, obviously bearing if like a turnover or something doesn't happen. But I mean, it's kind of just staying in the moment, not worried too much about what the outcome could be, what the, you know, the end of the score, what could happen there. It's like, hey, when we get an opportunity to go out there, and you got to go out there and make some plays, let's do it.
And they've done it time and time again. Next up, Detroit.
Number 5.
Jaden asked about, as you would imagine, the Detroit defense as he prepares for the Lions on Saturday night.
Yeah, good defense. They get their hands on the ball, obviously, with Kirby and Brian Branch. Obviously, up front, what they could do, create pressure, play some man coverage because they trust their guys on the outside. You know, it's going to be a challenge for us.
I think it's a huge challenge, and part of it is going to be an exercise in patience. Like, Terry's going to have one-on-ones a lot in this game. When do you send him deep? When do you throw those deep balls? How often do you take your shots? It's really tempting against man coverage to just dial it up, dial it up, dial it up. But can you actually be patient and just create, you know, some chaos underneath, run your mesh concepts, run your spot concepts, or I guess not your spot concepts, but run your stuff out of bunches that get you those easy spot routes underneath. With some traffic in front that make it easy to see, okay, yeah, this guy's going to spring free or not. You run those man beaters, and some of them have deeper options, and sometimes it's just pick your matchup and knowing when to pick it and when to just say, like, hey, let's check it down to the back who's in man coverage on a linebacker, and maybe he can make that guy miss in space. Like, there's a lot of I think coaching on philosophy of how aggressive you need to be this week, and that is coupled with the play calling, and I think that's going to be an interesting chess match to watch between Cliff Kingsbury and Aaron Glenn. As for Dan Quinn's role in all of it, what does he see from a Lions defense that ranks pretty well in a whole lot of categories and is getting their defensive coordinator head coaching looks?
Lots of man-to-man, aggressive, and I think the third downs, with Aaron and their crew has been really rock solid and strong. But those would be some things that stand out to me of things that they're excellent at.
I think the fact that they get those guys playing hard, playing fast, playing physical through all the injuries is really, really remarkable. It's just one of the most impressive coaching jobs to me that any coordinator has done all season, because they have shut down some really good offenses as they've battled through. Now, yeah, did Matthew Stafford get him at one point this year? Sure. Have some other guys had some okay days or some even good days? Yes. But they've pretty much always done enough, and they've in fact at times, including that game against Minnesota to close out the season, just done an exceptional job. Something that Dan Quinn certainly took notice of as well.
It's really a remarkable job, I thought, by Aaron and their defensive staff. It's not an easy thing to do, but one thing that has really I've respected is so many times when you see a team have injuries, they change to play differently or let's play more of this, which they never did. This is how we get down. And I thought, what a great message by Aaron to say, this is who we play, and they weren't going to let one set of circumstances take them out of that. And so I thought there's some boldness and confidence that goes with that. And so I think it's a great lesson.
Just be you. If you have a strong identity, you can fit people into that. And Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn have done a fantastic job of living that. I don't know that every coach can do that, but they have.
Number six.
The result, a hungry, rabid fan base that is finally getting some of what they've been desperate for so, so long. The environment in Detroit is going to be just absolutely electric. And that's going to make the pre-snap communication extraordinarily important for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of just getting on the ball, getting set, not really just moping around. So we have time to see the defense, to see if we need to make a check or, we need to communicate protection and stuff like that. So it kind of just goes with our urgency and how we approach the line of scrimmage each and every play.
The other thing that I think is interesting is Washington plays this no huddle basically all the time, which forces a lot of communication for defenses as well, not in a huddle. So it's a lot of hand signals. It's a lot of talking. And Washington, that's their normal. But just because you're not going fast, the no huddle still requires a high level of communication. Because, when they're no huddle, Washington could snap it at any time. If they want to get on the ball, go, they can. But often they wait and kind of have the same timing as if they had gotten in a huddle. They're just communicating in a different way. They're used to doing that. I don't know how much, obviously there's plenty of communication that does happen, but because they're used to the hand signals and some of the other ways they communicate, okay. Detroit playing whisper down the lane, they're used to playing in their own home environment as well and a pretty raucous crowd that knows, but typically that's when another team, they get a chance to huddle up and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a very, very interesting part of this chess match as well. Of course, Jaden has a huge help in having Tyler Biadasz back. How important was that on Sunday, and will it be on Saturday night?
Extremely important. Just somebody I talk to daily about different looks that we see, whether that's run game protection, stuff like that. So just be able to be on the same page. So we see something we already know, like, hey, this is a look. Let's do this protection. Let's go here. Let's maybe flip this protection and go this way.
And for Jaden, playing in a loud, raucous environment is nothing new. And, there's a lot of stuff from college that doesn't really roll over to the NFL. You're not going to get a whole lot more raucous and loud than Saturday night in Tuscaloosa or the Swamp or some of these other SEC environments. So is that something that Jaden innately was able to deal with from day one in some of those environments, or is it something he learned how to manage over time?
I think you kind of just get used to it, but obviously it's something new to me, and I heard Detroit is very electric, so I'm excited for them, for their fans to come out and bring some juice, because I know it's a very passionate fan base, and obviously rightfully so with the team that they're having. So I know it's going to be loud in there. So, you know, we got to go out there and be prepared, ready for the crowd noise.
Again, Saturday night, we'll have our pregame coverage all day Saturday on the Team 980. So if you're driving around getting ready for the game, make sure you lock us in either on your radio or on the free Odyssey app. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we haven't had a chance through 2+ days to take a look back at the rest of the games in the NFL from the weekend. So a quick look around the NFL next, and then real things to wrap us up here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Oh, man. We're just going to survive the last 25 minutes of the show, Anthony.
Is your stomach hurting, Craig?
I feel unsettled, Anthony. That's the best way to describe it. Stomach's okay as of right now. Afraid that could change eventually. If you're just tuning in, about 50 minutes ago, I paid off the Competition Wednesday bet that I had to pay off, which was I had to eat some hot wings that we considered pretty spicy, right? Our level that we set was the wing sauce level before Da Bomb on Hot Ones. And so what I did was I actually ordered the sauces from Hot Ones. And what I have learned is some sauce number sevens are very different than other sauce number sevens. And the one that has napalm in the title, stunningly, was hot as hell. And I had two wings of that and also the one called a ginger goat. I actually had three wings of the ginger goat because that one was genuinely delicious. That was good. Like, it had heat to it. Like, I had another one in the break between the pick six segments. But I also had I think also what I'm feeling right now, Anthony, is I then ate like an entire order of fries. And now I just feel like the weight of the fries is upon me.
Yeah.
So my nervous system got frayed by the pepper, like the hotness, sweating, the whole deal. Your body, like, it's a chemical reaction. It's not a sign of weakness. That's science, baby. And then I had a lot of fries, so now I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to sit down here and talk about the rest of the games of the weekend.
Good thing we only have 20 more minutes.
That is good, Anthony. That is good. About 20 minutes too many. But, yeah. By the way, I'm just going back. It wasn't too anything too crazy said in the chat. We had some people saying, yeah, you gotta have the milk. We don't have any milk. It's a radio station.
You can't drink milk.
And well, that was gonna be thing number two. I can't drink milk. Although there are the lactose free milks. There are some good ones out there. Fairlife makes one that's also very high in protein.
Is it Lactaid?
There's the Lactaid, but the Fairlife has one. There's a couple others. I should have come prepared. Instead, I was like, I'll get French fries. The first French fry I ate, Anthony, like it was no longer temperature hot. My fries by the time I got to them were kind of soggy and whatever. But I don't know, like it didn't even taste good. It was like so hot still because my mouth had been on fire. So eventually my mouth cooled down enough that the fries were helpful. I hope.
Love that for you, Craig.
I hate this all for me.
Glad I didn't have to endure what you're enduring right now.
I think that would have been hilarious.
It would have been painful. One, because
you don't like spicy food.
I could really smell the wings through this glass. Like, I haven't been in that same room, and my eyes were watering. So, had they been close to me?
When I poured the Ninja Napalm sauce in the bowl to sauce those, I was like, I think I'm in trouble here.
Yeah.
I do think that this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And I was right. That wing sauce is hot. But it also, like, it wasn't terrible. You know, like, it was an experience. But it wasn't something that I was like, oh my God, I'm in pain. It was just kind of like, oh, this is happening to me, which in a way was good, but Like, Rachel texted me and she goes, is this something, like, is it going as you expected or is it worse? And I was like, it's about 10% worse than I expected. I expected it to be hot because that's the point. But it was, that second one really was a different level. If I had just had the one wing and then been like, oh, these ginger goat ones are actually pretty good, I'm gonna have the rest of these, I would have been fine. But I didn't feel like one wing was enough to pay off the bet. I felt like two wings worth of each sauce was the correct amount because I had two losses stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a man of my word. And that second one, holy potatoes, that one was hot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was also because I did the one into the other. That might have been part of it. But I did take some video of that, so there will be an extended cut version on YouTube eventually. I'm going to try to also have old Tony edit that down into some kind of digestible TikTok situation. So get your TikToks while you can, boys and girls.
Do you really think TikTok has gone away?
So I actually asked Tony about this the other day, and he's like, well, what's going to happen is they just can't update the app. So, like, TikTok's actually not going to go anywhere the way the current rules are written, but you won't be able to, like, if you don't have it, you can't get it, and there'll be no update. So if you get a new phone, you won't be able to download TikTok.
Oh, man.
There's also a chance that it gets resolved in 5 days afterwards because the company sells to someone. So,
yeah.
I do not think it will be a long-term problem. I do think that the effort that we have put in to grow the TikTok following will all be for naught. By the way, Instagram blowing up a little bit. I'm almost 1,000 followers already. I started that thing like in December.
People love TikTok, though.
They do.
I'm not there yet, though, Craig.
If you want to follow me, Anthony, when you get there, at Craig Hoffman on the TikTok, I think. Just search my name. I'll pop up.
Yes, sir.
Hoffman.sports on Instagram. YouTube at Craig Hoffman. And right here on the radio at the Team 980. But you knew that because you're listening right now. All right. I feel like I'm starting to sweat again. My body's like going through cycles here, Anthony. Wing-induced, pepper-induced cycles.
I'm praying for you, Craig.
I'm also out of napkins. I went through a lot of napkins. So I wash it, wiping my face off, blowing my nose, making sure that nothing got in my eyes. Because that's the thing. It's like once I wiped off around my mouth, I had to throw that napkin out so I didn't accidentally get something in my eyes. So there's that. Anyway, we're supposed to go around the NFL. We'll quickly touch on some other stuff around the NFL next, and then we'll do real things. It's the Hoffman Show. What are you smiling at, Anthony? Is it something that we're about to play in real things, or is it me just struggling to the end of the show?
Last thing in real things. I added something from Friday we didn't get to play. I had to listen to it back.
Okay. I'm excited for that. Real quickly, let's do like 60 seconds apiece on the other games from the weekend. Because we just haven't had time to do such a thing. And so 60 seconds apiece on the other games because they deserve our attention. And we wound up talking about this stuff a lot. And we gave the Texans no chance. And then they whooped the absolute crap out of the Chargers. I will say, this is why you listen for the analysis, not just the picks. Because I did say, Anthony, there's only one way that the Texans win this game. Their defense is dominant, and then you hit a couple of big plays to Nico Collins. And their defense was something greater than dominant, and they sure hit a couple of big plays to Nico Collins. And then Justin Herbert threw more interceptions in this game, or was intercepted more in this game, than he had the entire season, 4-3. And lo and behold, the Texans whipped the ever-living crap out of the Chargers.
He put up an all-time stinker, Craig.
But I don't know that it was all him.
It wasn't all on him. Will Disley, like, dropped the pass. One of them went through McConkey's hand.
Like, that ball's high, but it hit him in the hands. And, like, those balls get, you know, picked all the time.
Yeah.
Or don't get picked all the time. Like, those balls ricochet off defenders' hands because you have the double ricochet situation. Like, these are the things that happen in NFL football games. So, just a weird one. But the Texans, man, like, their defense is nasty. I don't know if it's going to be enough against Kansas City, who's a much, much better offense. Not to mention they're a better defense than the Chargers. But, yeah, I do think that, you know, sorry, Texans. Chargers, I'd be really excited if I was a Chargers fan. I think the future is very, very bright.
Yeah.
They don't have very much talent, and they did what they did this year. Steelers and Ravens. Man, that first half was nasty. And Pittsburgh is just in a terrible spot as a franchise. They're never going to be bad enough with Tomlin to bottom out. And they're going to have to, like, for them, I heard this thought the other day. Like, they need to pull, like, a Matthew Stafford trade, like the Rams did, where they need to give up serious draft capital to go acquire a veteran quarterback and see if you can win it all in the next couple of years. The problem is, I don't know who that guy is.
Dak Prescott?
Dude. Dallas is not taking... I mean, I guess maybe if they were to get Dion and then draft Shador or something. But, like, Dak, I think it's $101 million in dead cap money if they trade him.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. So, Dak ain't going nowhere. He would be the closest guy, but his contract is pretty prohibitive. And I don't think Jerry's trading Dak.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do know that the Ravens did what they should have done and given the ball to Derrick Henry and allow him to lead them and will them to victory. Even though Lamar showed up to... But, dude, it's the playoffs. Run that boy, Derrick Henry.
Sure did. And they'll see if they can run it on Buffalo again this weekend. That's who they get, thanks to the Bills kicking the absolute crap out of the Broncos. Broncos started real well. First drive, bomb from Bo Nix to Franklin, the rookie from Oregon. Got that duck-duck connection. It's like, duck-duck, goose. And then the Bills are like, ha-ha, silly geese. 31-7, Josh Allen just doing Josh Allen stuff, so efficient, 20 of 26. That fourth down that he hits to Ty Johnson is crazy. That's one of the craziest catches you've ever seen. James Cook, 23 carries, 120 yards, and touchdown. Like, the Bills team's really good, man. This is going to be a great divisional weekend. I know there's a couple of lines that are sideways, but I think these are all going to be good games. And this Buffalo-Baltimore game, I actually, like, I don't know. I think there's a chance that Baltimore does what they did to Buffalo earlier in the year, but there's also a chance that Josh Allen just goes ham, and this is an epic shootout 42-40 type of game where either team could come out on top.
Yeah, it's going to have to be Josh Allen, you know, willing the team to victory, because I don't think you're going to be able to run on that that Baltimore front. So Josh Allen, Curtis Samuel, Amari Cooper. Curtis Samuel actually got in the box too, which was – good to see, because, you know,
yeah,
we know he is dynamic, but
he plays a role for them.
This Buffalo Ravens game. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. As for the Broncos side of it, again, like, they so overachieved based off what they should have been this year with the fourth quarterback off the board in that draft, someone that a lot of people thought they overdrafted in $80 million in dead cap money. They are going to be able to actually add players now, and clearly they know what to look for on some of these guys. Their young players have been really good, so salute to the Broncos on a fantastic season. Packers, Eagles. Oh, man. If you told me the Packers defense was going to play like that, I would have said, well, they got a shot. They had no shot. They got dump trucked because their offense was terrible. Now, in fairness to their offense, they had dudes dropping like flies. They had Christian Watson before the game. Jaden Reed goes out in this game. Romeo Doubs goes out in this game. And Jordan Love is clearly not right. Like, they just have to hope that Love is a very different player next year, if healthy, for an entire offseason and regular season, or at least most of a season, because the banged up version they got of him is just not the guy that they paid all that money to. But they also need to get some veterans in there. They have the youngest roster in the league 2 years in a row. Get some guys in there that can be stronger leaders. They actually just said today, we expect Love to be more of a leader. Don't do that. Like, sure, expect that from him, but I think getting some other guys in there would be really, really helpful. Philly, I don't know what to do with them. They're back in, like, they're frustrating, but they just produce mode. They score 22. Saquon could have scored a touchdown at the end, make it basically 30. So there's that. And then last night, the Rams just kicked the ever-living crap out of the Vikings. First half, thoroughly dominant. That was really all they needed. 27-9, the final score. Vikings have a big decision at quarterback. They drafted J.J. McCarthy last year, of course, and then... And actually, I said Nix was the fourth. Nix was the fifth guy off the board at the 12th pick for the Broncos. McCarthy was fourth to the Vikings, and he is going to be coming off the injury. Do they re-sign Darnold for one more year? I think that's kind of the most experts think that that's the right move, but going to be an interesting offseason for Minnesota. All right, last but not least, Anthony, because you were giggling so hard, we must get to real things real people said in the real microphone.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right. So Snoop Dogg was on... which show was it?
Yeah.
Was it Kelly Clarkson show, maybe?
Yes.
And was asked by Kelly Clarkson how he got his name.
How did you end up going by Snoop? I don't think I know. I know Snoopy came into play for a minute, right? Is that why?
Yeah, well, as a kid, I watched Charlie Brown. Yeah, you know, Charlie Brown was one of my favorites. And I watched Snoopy so much, my mother was like, you watch him so damn much, you're starting to look like him. And I swear to you, my whole life, I had 50 years with my mother, right? And she never called me by my real name a day in her life. She called me Snoopy, Snoopy, Snoopy. That's it. That's all.
That's so cute. Do your kids call you Snoopy? I just imagine in my dream movie they do.
My daughter calls me Dad.
That's normal.
My youngest son called me Pop.
Okay.
And my oldest son called me when he needs some money.
That's it. That's all. That's the show. See you tomorrow on the Team 980.